Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Bob Rambo. I used to serve here as pastor for a while. My wife, Susie, didn't come with me today. We have company this weekend, so she's home, but they're watching this morning. We often watch your Facebook Live services, and I retired last summer, but Susie and I came in August or September and worshiped Ricky with y'all one Sunday morning. And I want to express my appreciation to Ricky and Katie for the invitation to be with you on this very important day. The scripture I chose for this morning is about today. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And I invite you to hear these words. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. And when they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. And there he set up camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. But the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. And after that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west, and Ai to the east, and there he built another altar, dedicated it to the Lord, and worshiped the Lord. And then Abram continued traveling in stages toward the Negev. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A turning point is defined as a watershed moment, a history-shaping event, a life-altering change that sends life in a new direction. And life is full of turning points. For instance, the invention of the wheel was a turning point. We don't know exactly when it happened. Wheels have been discovered that date back 3500 BC. Someone invented it. We don't know who. But the invention of the wheel changed life so profoundly, we haven't found anything better to use yet to get us from place to place. And then there's D-Day. Some of you will remember the Allied invasion of Europe on June 6, 1944. It literally changed the course of World War II and has continued to influence the entire world for the last 80 years. And what about the introduction of this? Can anyone imagine what life was like in those ancient days BC, before Cell? Right? So much of life is different because of this one piece of technology. Well, history is full of turning points, and so is life. Birth, graduation, marriage, creating a business. All of these things are turning points, things that shape and alter the course of our lives. And today, you are at a turning point as a congregation, along with every other United Methodist Church, I might say. Do you stay in a denomination that is moving to full inclusion of LGBTQ people, including ordination and marriage? Or do you leave because you feel like biblical authority is not being honored? This is a hard decision, isn't it? I've spoken to people who support the move to full inclusion who also wonder if they're ignoring the teachings of Scripture. And I've also spoken with people who support leaving the denomination who also wonder if they're really fully following Jesus' command to love one another. So this is not a simple black-white decision. It's complex. It weighs on people. And I don't know where you are personally on this matter, but I do know this. If you are not approaching this afternoon with a healthy sense of fear and trembling, you may not really appreciate the gravity of the moment before you, because you're at a turning point. And it doesn't matter what you decide today, you will be changed forever as a church. Turning points can lead to success. They can lead to failure. They can lead us forward. They can lead us backward. They can give us new momentum or cause us to lose our influence. If you've been keeping up with the trial of Alex Murdoch in South Carolina, you know that his decision to testify on his own behalf in his murder trial was a terrible mistake that affected the outcome. And you're at a turning point today. Well, the scripture we looked at a moment ago from Genesis 12, it's also a turning point. Now, it's fair to say that up until this moment in scripture, in Genesis 12, that God's efforts with humanity, recorded in Genesis 1 through 11, had not been very fruitful. Adam and Eve had failed. Their failure produced an epidemic of rebellion and violence. So great it resulted in the flood, only Noah and his family were spared. But then the descendants of Noah failed. Instead of scattering throughout the world to serve God, Noah's descendants decided to stay clumped together and make a name for themselves. They built a tower to reach up to God. But if you know that story, it didn't work out very well either. And in the wake of all of those failures, the prospects for humanity just didn't look very promising. But then God decided to try something different. God elected, that is, God chose a man named Abram and his wife Sarai. Now, Abram and Sarai, who later become Abraham and Sarah, they came from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. It's located on the banks of the Euphrates River, not far from the Persian Gulf in what is today Iraq. That's where they were born and raised. But one day, Abram's father, Terah, gathered his whole clan together and he left Ur. And their destination was the land of Canaan, modern Israel. Now, if you look at a map, over here is Ur, and over here is Canaan. But you can't go straight from Ur to Canaan because there are 400 miles of Arabian desert between them. You could try, but you wouldn't make it. So what Terah has to do is travel north into what is today southeastern Turkey, and then come down into Israel from the north. And that's what he sets out to do, but for some unknown reason, he decides to stop halfway at a place in southern Turkey called Haran. And there in Haran, Terah, who started all of this movement, died. He got his family here in the middle of the nowhere, and then he up and dies, okay? So picture this, if you will. Abraham and Sarah, all the other family members, they're stuck here in the middle of nowhere. They are strangers in a strange place. And to make matters worse, Sarah is barren. That is, she's not able to have children. God's promise, all the way back in Genesis 2, to be fruitful and multiply, somehow skipped over them and just passed them by completely. And in the ancient world, to be barren was to have no future. It meant there was no one to carry on the family name. It meant there were no children to take care of you in your old age because your children were your social safety net in old age. So for Abram and Sarah, being barren meant their future was bleak. But one day everything changed. When the Lord spoke to Abram and said, "Go, get up, get moving, go to the land where I will show you." God invites Abram and Sarah to take a journey, and God even offers them some nice incentives, some promises. God says, "If you go, I'll give you children. I'll give you descendants as numerous as the grains of sand by the sea. I'll give you a land of your own, and the people that you produce will be a blessing to everyone in the world." And suddenly, Abram and Sarah are at a turning point. Do they stay? Do they go? That's the dilemma they face. And there are three things that Abram and Sarah can teach us about turning points that I think are worth our attention this morning. And the first is this. When God asks you to go somewhere, if you go anywhere with God, it's going to be a risk. Going anywhere with God is going to be risky. Listen for the reason why. God invites Abram, "Go with me." But to go with me means leaving everything you've known up to now. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your family, leave everything familiar, everything near and dear to you, and strike out into the unknown to the land where I will show you. In other words, God is saying to them, "Follow me and I'll tell you when we get there." Okay? Doesn't that sound great? I mean, just out of curiosity, how many of you like to move? How many of you like to change? Is it easy for you? Is it hard? A week ago, Susie and I went and switched cell phone companies. Now, we've been with the same cell phone company, believe it or not, for 30 years. And we had to make the change. It was absolutely necessary. But do you know how agonizing that was for us to do a simple thing? I mean, people switch cell phone companies like they change toothpaste, right? And yet it was an agonizing thing to do. Change is hard. I know that. When I was a child, my family moved constantly because of my dad's work. I went through 13 school changes in 12 years of school. I swore, Ricky, Katie, that when I grew up, I was going to put roots down somewhere and stay in that place. Well, God sure had a sense of humor because I became a Methodist pastor. But I want you to know I never got used to moving. I dreaded it. Every time, every move was like having a piece of your heart ripped out because you form relationships and places become home only to be uprooted and have to do it all over again. In fact, one of the greatest life lessons I've ever learned is this simple equation. I want you to write this down if you can because you will carry this for the rest of your life. This simple equation. Change equals loss, and loss equals grief. Think about that. Never underestimate how difficult and terrifying it is to move or to change. For Abram and Sarah, for you, going anywhere with God means you have to abandon everything familiar and comfortable. You have to make a total break with the past, cutting ties to old hopes and old dreams. You have to reorient yourself to a new way of being. And worst of all, you go somewhere with God, you have to give up control. You have to say goodbye to being in charge of your future or destiny, and you have to strike out on faith. And that's hard to do, isn't it? in some ways, it's even cruel. I mean, I can relate to the person I read this week who asked this question. What kind of God would call someone to do like Abram and Sarah, to leave all the security of home and take a risk? After all, if God is God, surely God can figure out ways to make a new beginning without asking us to take all that risk. Can't God just make things happen while letting me stay in my safe place? I would rather God change everything around me and just leave me where I am. I get that, don't you? The problem is, if staying where we are could change us, God would do that. But it seems that we're only changed, we only grow when we're willing to move from where we are and go where God leads us. And I want to be absolutely clear. God doesn't make anyone go anywhere against their will. It's always our choice, but to really live requires following where God leads us. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, and Jesus says to them, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. And this is the kicker. Jesus says, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll find it. Abram and Sarah discovered that when we're confronted with a turning point, it's not an easy thing, and we must respond. You cannot not make a decision today. It's where we are. We can cling to where we are. We can step out into the unknown. There's risk going with God, but you know, there's risk in staying where we are. But the choice is always ours. God invites Abram and Sarai to undertake this risky journey of change and growth. And whatever you decide today, you're about to undertake a risky journey. Nothing will be the same. But despite the risk, the text today says Abram went as the Lord told him. Abram and Sarah, I say yes to God, we'll go with you. But the second thing that they teach us is that going with God is not always a straight path. That sometimes it's long and winding. If you read what happens after this, Abram and Sarai discover that the promises God made them, they don't get fulfilled instantly. They don't even get fulfilled immediately. Years go by, and Abram and Sarai are still without a child. They become impatient. I mean, I'm not impatient, are you? They get impatient. They try to take matters into their own hands, so Abram has a son, but it's not by Sarai. It's by Sarai's servant girl, Hagar. They think they're going to help God out, and they only complicate matters. And on top of that, through all the years, Abram and Sarai, they didn't always trust God. They made mistakes along the way. On a couple of occasions, Abram even pretended that Sarai was his sister, not his wife, which led, as you can imagine, to a few uncomfortable and embarrassing moments for them. And not everybody in their family was excited about their decision. Abram and Sarai found out that whatever you choose to do, there are always those who want a second guess. But Abram and Sarai show us that God's people are not settlers. We're pioneers. We're pilgrim people, always on the move. We're on the move because God is always on the move. I love this scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 7. King David wanted to build the temple, a temple where God would dwell. Only God sent the prophet Nathan to David with a message, and this is what the message was. tell David, I never have lived in a house. From the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day, I've always moved from one place to another. This is God's way of saying, I don't ever find a place and that's it. Never going in. God is constantly on the move. And if we're not willing to move with God, we risk getting left behind. Bishop Bob Morgan was our bishop here in Mississippi at one time. He ordained me as an elder. He told the story of being a little boy in Alabama, living out of town, riding every Sunday morning to church in town on the back of his grandfather's wagon. And on one hot summer morning, it was so warm, he laid down across the back of the wagon and fell asleep. Unfortunately, his grandfather hit a hole in the ground, and Bob Morgan bounced up into the air and hit the ground. And he woke up dazed, a little sore. He started crying, but he noticed the wagon didn't stop. So he cried louder, and the wagon kept going, and he cried louder, and his grandfather turned around and said, Bobby, you can sit in the dust and cuss the dust, or you can hurry up and get on the wagon because the wagon's going to town. When we decide to journey with God, the road isn't always straight. It isn't always smooth. There are going to be bumps on the road ahead for all of us, no matter what. But friends, we also discover God blesses the broken road. When we follow Him and learn to trust Him more, God blesses the way, no matter the way. In his classic book on the church, a great German theologian named Hans Küng wrote, the church is essentially en route. It's on a journey. It's a pilgrimage. And a church that pitches its tent without looking out for new horizons, which doesn't constantly strike camp and keep on the move, is not being true to its calling. Abram and Sarai chose to say yes to God's invitation. They experienced the blessing of journeying with God in spite of the twists and the turns, the disappointments and the delays. It changed them, just like it's changed every other person who's ever gone on a journey with God. And that brings me to the last thing I think Abram and Sarai teach us. And it is this, that whatever sustains us on that journey, or rather, what sustains us on the journey, whatever choice we make, is the one who called us. The one who calls us. You know, I retired, Ricky said, last summer after 42 years of being a pastor. And I can tell you truthfully today that for those 42 years, Abram and Sarah have been Susie and my role models. We learn from them how to depend on God, how to leave the safety and comfort of places we loved and people we knew to go with God. Going with God means you don't always get to choose where you go. It really is stepping out into the unknown. You have to have faith that God will work things out. But every time we left a church family, like Clinton, behind, we discovered that God was already preparing new people we didn't even know yet to welcome us into their family. As Jesus told his disciples, there are none of you who leave home and family for the sake of the gospel who don't receive it back 100 times over. Every time we went with God into the unknown, something great happened. My friend Don Dalton from Corinth, Mississippi, is here with me today. Don is a living example of this. We moved to Corinth, and we didn't know a soul, and 30 years later, we are still close friends. It was that way with you. We will always love you and hold you with the highest regard. And it's because as Sarah and Abram believed, where God guides, God provides. Do you believe this? Do you believe that where God guides, God will provide for you? Brothers and sisters, it's a turning point. And regardless of the decision you make today, you're about to start a journey. You're going to be stepping out into the unknown. And that's risky and it's scary. But I want you to know you're not alone. That God is with you. And you have each other. And I don't know whether I should say this or not, Ricky, but I hope whatever your decision is, you'll find a way to stay together. It's okay to have differences of opinion. This is not about winning or losing. Because everybody loses today. Everybody loses. No matter the decision, things are not going to be the same. But everyone can win by staying together despite our differences. Abram believed God. When God said go, he went. And you know what? Abram discovered that when we follow God into the unknown, it's great. It can be great. Not every moment, but ultimately, it's great. Great Old Testament scholar named Elizabeth Achtmeyer once said about this story. God spoke to Abram. Abram went as the Lord told him. So why don't we get on with it too? May it be so for you today. Go as God guides you into the great unknown. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning that whatever steps we take, you've already gone before us. Prepare our way, oh God. Lead us, speak to our hearts as this congregation gathers this afternoon. And whatever decision, Lord, comes, may the church celebrate it, come together, and move on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.